Thanks for joining us, all of you who are listening in all over the world. And we're so glad that you can be with us as we study our lesson on page 16 today and discuss it. We have several good panelists with us today. We have Lois. How are you, Lois?
Oh, Doris, I'm great. I'm really looking forward to what we're discussing today.
What are we going to discuss, Lois?
Well, you know, it's December 7th. It's less than 20 days to Christmas. So this is a really good topic.
And
our title today is How to Create a Family Budget with Kids.
Oh, my goodness, with kids. Well, I think we can even create a family budget without kids.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Pauline, what do you think?
Hey, guys, this is Pauline. I agree. I think budgeting is a really important skill to have, whether you're single, married, or have kids.
Exactly. I'm thinking at Christmas, everyone seems to have kids, so nieces or nephews or grandnieces or grandnephews.
Well, kids need to learn how to have a budget, too, from the time they're little, you know, make their money stretch, whatever money they do have. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Joshua with us today. And Joshua, this is a very good subject for all of us, isn't it?
It is a very good subject for all of us. So even though Pauline and I don't have children, we also have lots of people in our life that we like to take care of because they take care of us. And at this time of year, I think it's really important for us to have a good budget that includes everyone so that we can feel like we have the capacity to really return what we've received.
And this is really good for any time of the year, not just December. Of course, December, people plan to spend a little more buying gifts and all. But it's good to create a budget that works all year round, isn't it, Lois?
It sure is. And I guess that's why they put this under society, because society means for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it means something. What are we doing in our life? And sometimes when I see the word society, of course, I think of social. And when I think of social, I think of budget, because you have to really budget if you're going to have a social life, or else it can get out of hand.
Well, you're really connecting it all together there, Lois. But let's look at our article then on page 16 as we begin today. And I'm going to ask if Pauline will read line 1 through line 15.
Right. When it comes to the family bank account, we tend to go overboard during a couple of seasons. Holidays and summer vacations can put a dent in wallets. To reduce debt, thus stress, your best defense is sticking to a budget. The best budgets are the most simple. Search family budget and look for expert resources from trustworthy publications and even from financial institutions. You'll also find a whole lot of services online that will help you set up a budget, and many will even check your credit score. To do it yourself, set up a spreadsheet, or go the old-fashioned route and take paper and pencil in hand.
Okay, Pauline, thank you. Now, not only a family bank account, but your own individual bank account. So this is not only for families. Remember that. Right? And it says here that we tend to go overboard. That's an interesting expression. I think of people on boats, you know, and they don't want to go overboard, they fall in the water. And what happens? They could drown.
Exactly.
You get over your head, we could say, you know. So go overboard is a very common expression. I'm going to ask if Joshua will explain that a little more.
Well, it means really in order to get too excited or to do something too much. And so I think it comes from the idea of when you're on a ship and you get excited and you sort of lose yourself a little bit, and the next thing you end up in the drink because you've gone overboard.
The drink is the ocean, right?
Right. Or we sometimes will say nowadays you'll spend frivolously. So you just go crazy with your spending, and you just think, oh, it's a special time of the year, or somebody's birthday, or somebody's anniversary, and you just keep spending, and you don't really think you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, we go overboard, you know, a lot of times for birthdays, for Christmas, for other things, and some people just go overboard very easily. So we have to watch it. That's why we have to have a budget. But, you know, during the different seasons, holidays is one time. It's holidays, of course. And on the summer, when you say, I'm going to take a vacation, I want to go to Hawaii or someplace, that can actually put a dent in your wallet. Now, how can you put a dent in your wallet?
I really like this phrase. It's actually pretty common in English for us to say, that something has put a dent in our wallet. It just means our wallet is a little less heavy now. All of a sudden, we took some money out of there. There's not quite as much money in the wallet, or
you could
more
say it makes it thinner.
General. Yes, it's a thinner wallet now, where our bank accounts have a little less in it. So the idea is that a big amount of money was taken out of our bank accounts, out of our resources, so our right. wallet has taken a dent.
And when you put a dent in a car or something, it hurts it. It injures it, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do anything to wreck your account.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Or wreck your financial standing.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. So you want to reduce debts. You don't want to have debts. It's better not to have any debts, because if you have a debt, you can have stress. You say, how am I going to pay that? And so many people now, with their credit cards and things, they get things that they shouldn't, they can't afford, and it causes a lot of stress, doesn't it?
It causes a lot of stress. I know that when you're getting overboard in your finances and you're always worried about money and how things cost and how much money you have, it does cause a lot of stress.
So what can you do to guide against that, to be a defense against it? What can you do?
Well, drop a budget and stick to that budget.
Stick to your budget.
Yes.
Josh and I have had to do that since we're new to Taiwan. And, of course, it's very easy to go overboard since we're still kind of tourists here. So we want to experience everything. But we've had to learn to write up a budget. We've both done it now to keep ourselves from overdoing it and not wanting to get stressed out in our very first couple of months of being here. We want to be able to enjoy it and not suddenly realize that we've overspent and don't have what we need in order to survive here.
Well, you know, the best budgets are very simple ones, actually. You find how much you need for food, how much you need for rent. You write those things down, and you know you need that every mm-hmm. month. And you stick to that, and you don't get a lot of extra things. How much extra money do you have? And everybody has to do that. But I think if you get used to doing it when you're young, it comes rather automatic as you get older, because you know you can't afford to do it. But you have to teach yourself that, don't you?
Yeah, it's very nice, too, when we were talking about a family here. It's really nice if parents have taught this to their
yes.
kids from a young age, like you say, Doris, because it's just a part of you then. And then you go, hey, I'm spending too much, and I have gone away from my budget, and I know I shouldn't be doing this.
Gone overboard, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get what they call expert sources. You can get trustworthy publications, not just anything, but something you believe in that's really good. And actually, I think one of the best trustworthy publications is the Bible, because the Bible says to owe no man anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty trustworthy. Don't owe people money. So that's a good advice right there, isn't it?
Right. And you've got to just be, if you do, you know, if you have a mortgage, you usually
right.
owe the bank something. But be diligent
on your budget,
and
right.
always pay it.
Right.
Right.
And financial institutions can give you help. But I think parents can be very good at giving their kids allowances and tell them if you spend it all the first day, you have no money later on. And they can teach that from the time kids are little, can't they? Mm-hmm. Did you do that, Laura?
You know what? Doris, I had that taught to me by my dad and mom, and then I passed it on to my children, Mark and Deborah, when they were growing up. And we just made a policy, because we were Christians, we made a policy that we would give some away, and then they would save the rest. And some was for long-term savings, and some was for, I can either spend it all today, or I can save it up for that special baseball glove I want.
Now, did they learn, and are they still doing that there?
They're doing pretty well. You know, one child seems to learn better than the other. I'm not going to mention who,
no.
But that's just life. But you know what? I find, Doris, that you will eventually learn.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I like what it says here on line 10 about the different ways that you can go about budgeting. It says that there are services online that can help you with a budget, or a little further down on 15, it says you can do the pencil and paper route. When I was growing up, I watched my mom have literal envelopes that she would put the money in every month when we would get the paycheck. They would cash it in and put cash in envelopes, and I'd watch her take it out for each different kind of thing. And now, as an adult, I use an online service, but it's called the Budgeting Envelopes app, and it has envelopes just like my mom did, except for they're online, and I can watch how much money I'm taking out of each envelope for groceries or MRT transportation, those kind of things. So I definitely can see that heritage from my mom being passed down to me, even though I'm using a slightly different method for how I go about doing
That's true. There's a lot of different ways, and there's so many articles about it and so much advice. So we're just going to mention it because it's a good thing to think about. And this is the last month of this year, so you're going to do better even next year. And some people set up what they call a spreadsheet, which is, like you said, to do it on your computer or the old-fashioned way. And I know we used to always just put down how much we had to spend in a little notebook before. Mm-hmm. But now it's easy to do that on the computer.
Yeah, and you know, some couples, I learned this from my mom and dad, when a husband and wife are both working full-time, another way of doing budgeting is one salary completely gets saved and they live off the other. And that can oftentimes make it very easy way of living, because then if you decide to stay home with your children for a few years or more than that, you've been used to living off one salary.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Well, let's take the next section here. It's a short paragraph. And Joshua, would you read about this defining the steady cost?
I'd be happy to. Step one in creating a family budget is writing down the steady cost. In general, these include housing costs, mortgage, rent, and insurance, along with health insurance, student loans, and credit card debt. Another steady cost might be the monthly cost of your cell phones.
Okay. There's probably another word you could say instead of the steady cost. I would just say the cost that you have to do, right?
And your monthly cost. Some people say their monthly cost. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. And you also have annual costs. So I know if you... for instance, if you
insurance.
Own a house, you're going to have house insurance. If you rent an apartment, you may have content insurance if you live in North America. You've got to, I always had my monthly cost, but I always put into my monthly cost my annual cost and divided it by 12.
Very detailed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they call that steady cost because it's something that you have to do. If you rent someplace, you have to pay your rent every month, and you know that it's a regular cost, so you have to put it down. It's important. Thing.
Another common term you might hear in this field of study or field of conversation is a fixed cost.
Right. I think that's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Every month.
A fixed cost. Those things are fixed.
Exactly.
There's no way your income tax, you're going to have to pay it. You know, it's a fixed cost.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you put those things aside, your health insurance costs. All of those are what we call fixed costs. I think that word is really a good word. And, you know, it says here that we have to predict these fluctuating costs. Now, there's the fixed costs that are there, but there's costs that come and go, like you said, certain months or certain times or when you start school or different times.
Exactly.
We call those fluctuating. What does that word fluctuating actually mean? It's a very good word.
But it is a good word. So fluctuating means something that changes, usually changes continuously. It may go up. It may go down.
Like the weather, it fluctuates.
Like the weather, it fluctuates. Exactly. It's a very good example.
And fluctuating things, we can't help it. They're just there naturally. So.
Right. Usually we say that the gasoline has a fluctuating cost.
Right.
We usually say that. Or electricity. The power in your house, the electrical power in your house, that has a fluctuating cost.
Especially in the summer when it's hot, you have your air con on.
Yes.
That's fluctuating.
Exactly,
right?
Doris.
Well, now, it's very hard to predict fluctuating costs. We have to think what they might be. We try to predict it. Sometimes they go over, sometimes under. But I'm going to ask Lois if you would read that paragraph about predicting the fluctuating costs on page 16.
Okay. This is next. Add up utility costs, which fluctuate from month to month. Look back on the previous year to get a ballpark figure. Another cost on the list of necessities is transportation. Here, you should be able to get a monthly cost once you factor in the car payment, gasoline costs, or public transportation fees, and insurance. Factor in the inevitable costs
for things like car or home repairs. If you have kids, add up costs like back-to-school shopping. Make sure to include other costs like personal care, gifts, pets, entertainment, and home costs.
Oh, there's a lot of fluctuating costs there, especially
that's
with pets.
That's a big list.
If the pets have to go to the vet, sometimes that's a fluctuating cost, too. You know, there's a lot of different things. So when you add up these things, now the first thing, of course, is your utilities. Like you say, you have to pay your phone and your electric bills and your rent, all those things, don't you?
Absolutely. Those have to be first priority.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you'll find sometimes in the world, there's some places where you rent, where your utilities are included. But now because home heating, whether that be natural gas or oil or whatever, and electricity, it's now usually given to the person that's renting now because it's got so expensive.
Well, it fluctuates a lot.
Well, and every different home or apartment renter has a different sense of how much air conditioning or heat they need. So on that hand, I think it is fair that the people who use a lot of it have to pay a little more for their utilities.
That's true.
And then those who don't use it very much, they don't have to pay as much.
If you want to save money, just use a fan instead of the air conditioner fluctuating. Well, but if you look back on your last year and see what you spent sometimes, that will give you what we call a ballpark figure. Now, we often use sports terms for a lot of different things, but why does a ballpark have something to do with this?
Well, a ballpark figure is a guess, and the reason why they call it a ballpark figure is they want you to get a guess that's sort of kind of accurate. So they say, like, within the ballpark as opposed to out of the ballpark. So it sort of goes back to like baseball. It's a baseball term. And if you have something in the ballpark, it means it's close enough. It's pretty good. But if you hit something out of the ballpark, it means it's way out there, way off base.
But isn't it interesting in English how we took up some of these expressions? No wonder people think English is hard. We're talking about a ballpark. We're talking about budgets.
Yeah.
You know?
Give me a ballpark figure. You'll hear some people say that sometimes.
Yeah, but we often, when we say that, we really just give me a kind of an estimate, right?
Exactly.
What you think it might be. You know, what do you think it might be?
Well, and a new term, Doris, that a lot of people are saying now is give me a guesstimate.
Yes.
You hear
like
that a lot now.
It's kind of a word that's put together from guessing.
Exactly.
To estimating.
Exactly.
Doris.
So my kids often will say to me, well, Mom, give me a guesstimate. And at first I was like, what's that? And then I realized, okay.
People, you put those two words together sometimes, don't they? That's kind of a ballpark figure. What do you think it might be? It's kind of an estimate. In a way. Well, there's another cost on this list of necessities, and that is transportation.
Mm.
And that can be high or low depending on, you know, what you do. If you drive your car every day, if you have to pay parking, or if you take the MRT, and that transportation has to be figured in, doesn't it, Pauline?
Oh, absolutely. It's such a huge part of our daily life, and it's easy to forget all of these little lines when you're going through and making your budget. That's why it's a good idea to look at an article like this or check some sources online to make sure you don't forget any of those pieces. I know one thing I would often forget when I would put the transportation line in when I had my own car was I would forget the insurance. Not only do I have to pay for the gas, but there's this insurance.
And that's
fee.
High sometimes.
Or that's true. Or like you said, Doris, some people have to pay for a parking fee or maybe for toll booths.
Right.
So there's a lot of different factors within the transportation piece. And if you take multiple forms of transportation, you have to keep those in mind too.
I remember something for transportation which was very difficult to factor in, and that was maintenance.
Mm.
Because some things can be so expensive, getting new tires for your car.
Changing the oil.
Changing the oil, changing the brakes. And if you forget to factor that in, when those big ticket items come around, they can really hurt.
Yes, right. And we use that phrase to factor in, or it just means that we figure it in, or
that's
we put it in there. When you factor, you consider that item is something to factor in.
Consider all things when you purchase a car.
Yeah, and then for gasoline costs or public transportation fees, and sometimes you can get a certain card for a certain price and things like that. And also the insurance, because insurance is another fluctuating cost. It sometimes goes up, doesn't it, quite a bit?
Yeah, depending on if you live in a city or a village, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, you know, other things like the home repairs and of course for kids, my goodness, if you have kids, well, sometimes you have back to school, shopping, there's a lot of costs, right?
That was a lot of costs for Michael and I, Doris, was back to school shopping for our kids. And I always appreciated that my parents were really sensitive to that, that it was a very expensive time for families, and they would always give me some money for both children to help with the back to school.
That's pretty good parents.
So that was really nice. Grandparents, yeah, it's really sweet. And you know what, grandparents out there, that's the time parents really appreciate the help. I cannot believe how many things schools don't cover now compared to when I was a child. It's a different situation now.
And so the grandparents, well, you save a little to help your grandchildren.
Exactly.
That's right. Or your nieces or your nephews.
Exactly. And, my sister was good at that, too.
I have to help all my nieces and nephews.
I know you do.
But make sure that you include other things, too, like your personal care that you need to have, or your shampoo and all those kind of things. And wedding gifts, oh, my goodness. When you go to Chinese weddings, you always have to give a hongbao. You better figure that in. And pets and things like that. And if you want to go out to the movies, or you go out to some amusement park or do something fun, home costs, those all have to be put down as entertainment. Isn't that right?
That's right. And you want to be able to do that. You still want to be able to have fun in your life, or life is going to just seem like
take your wife out
drudgery
to dinner sometimes, right?
That's right.
Very good advice. Yes.
Very good advice. So you have to figure all these different things in, and that's kind of hard. So usually you put those down as miscellaneous, because they're not always something on your regular schedule, and you have a certain amount. You say, well, we've already used all our miscellaneous month. This month, let's not go out to dinner this month, right?
Exactly.
But you can have those little extra little things you want to do, right?
And some months might be more expensive than others. Well, you know, make a date night the next month just going out for coffee. Or
for a walk.
Or go for a walk. Or have your favorite fruit drink or something.
Right. But, you know, actually, you have to take a smaller bite out of your budget sometimes. A bite means just a little bit of something, not a big chunk. Take a smaller bite. Would you like to read that, Joshua?
Sure, of course. One very necessary item that must be on that budget is food costs.
Yes, let's say yes, that's good. Especially if you live in a Chinese society, food is very important, isn't it? Right?
I think in every society.
In every society, I think so too.
I think so too, very much. Write down a grocery list for the week. What kids and adults will learn from the budgeting process is this. If you can save a bit of money each week by cutting back on the costs that can be controlled, like water, power, and food costs, there will be a bit more each month to save up for the fun stuff.
Okay, so that's some good advice on here, don't you think?
Keyword for me, I think when I'm reading this about saving a bit more each month for the fun stuff, we have a term Michael and I use in a month that we know something's going to happen maybe a month or two down the road, and we say, in the present, be frugal, because we want to have some fun. We want to have some good times when we're away.
And sometimes we put that money aside. We call it mad money. Did you ever do that? You know, something that you just didn't plan for. This is my mad money. Yeah. I can use that for whatever I want.
Exactly.
But that's not too much. Use it just a little bit, right? Yeah. Put it in your budget so you can do something that you might not want to always do.
Yeah, I think that's good, Doris. Some people say, put some money away for a rainy day, so that means an unexpected expense, and then put some mad money away so you can have some fun.
Now, some things you can't control and some things you can. So you have to figure out the things that you can't control, put those in your budget, and the things that you can, figure out what you can do. But now a lot of people like to use their credit cards, and they're good because they're very handy, but they're also very dangerous. And sometimes young people get them when they're still, very young, and they don't know how to use them. And I think a good advice would be to pay your credit cards quickly. Let's read that part, Pauline.
Yeah, here on our sidebar it says, remember that all experts will advise you to pay off that credit card debt as quickly as possible. So avoid paying just the minimum amount due.
If they say you only have to pay this much, but sometimes the interest is 18%, it's very high. So I always learned that when I first got a credit card, that don't put any more on your credit card than you can pay off that month. That's exactly. For regular things.
It is so important to pay your credit cards off each month. And sometimes if you do have an emergency, talk to your bank or talk to the credit card company.
Some people get another credit card and they get two or three and they can't pay them off. And
right.
It's really, really very dangerous. So be very careful how you use your money. And we hope that you'll enjoy the money that you have. Money is not everything, but we need to use it to have a good time. So let's create budgets for ourselves and stick with them, but still enjoy life. And don't forget to put getting your Studio Classroom and Advanced Magazines in your credit, because that's very important to get those every month, right?
Exactly. StudioClassroom.com, just look us up, because we would like to be part of your family budget plan. And I don't think you can ever go wrong if you purchase one of our advanced
magazines. And if you really can't afford it, then you can do m.studioclassroom.com and listen in every day free. So don't forget that. So we've got a lot of advantages here. No excuse to not listen in every day. So we'll see you when we come back for another lesson next time. And have a great month. And thanks for being with us today, everyone. So we'll say goodbye for now.
Bye.
Bye.